Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17. We'll continue our study in this wonderful book, in this wonderful chapter that we've been going through, which contains our Lord Jesus Christ's high priestly prayer as he prays for all the elect, all those whom the Father gave him in eternity, called in the scripture the elect of God. And they are a people of his choosing. His choosing. The name of the message is Loved as Christ. Loved as Christ. And tonight's verse is one of those verses which I believe will leave us absolutely speechless as born again, blood washed saints of God. When we consider what this verse brings forth, my prayer is that it would leave us speechless, that it would leave us with only one thing to say is glory be to God, or hallelujah, whatever one you please. Hallelujah. Amen. My, oh my. And what wonderful words we're going to see tonight are set before us by the Holy Spirit of God. He had these words preserved, which were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had these words preserved for us. The words of the wonderful, gracious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And before we look at this verse, how do you plumb the depths of God's love for his people? How do you plumb that? How do you measure it? There's no measure. There's no way to measure it. There's no way to plumb it. That's just measuring. I used to use a plumb stick when I was a sign painter, or a plumb string. And you know, you measure out where you're going to go, and you pull it out, and it's got blue chalk, and it leaves it on the white truck that we used to paint. And it's plumbing the line. You can't plumb the love of God. You can't measure it. It's impossible. You can't know the width of it. We can't even imagine the width of it, and let alone the depth of it. There's no way that it'd be measured. Look at verse 23 of John chapter 17. Now this will be our verse. We're going to read it separately here, and then we're going to read it in context. Look at this verse. These are the words of the Master praying to God the Father. And he says, continuing from what he said in verses 21 and 22, he says, speaking about the unity that he has with the Father, and also speaking of the unity in the church, unity he has with them, with the born-again, blood-washed Church of God, and the unity that they have with God the Father as well. Excuse me, sorry. He says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. This verse brings forth that Wayne Boyd and Dave Mann and Brian Edwards and Linda Edwards, all we who profess Christ, are loved by God as Christ, as God loves Christ. Now, I'm going to say something here. That's a fact. That's a fact. It's not just a statement. It's a fact. It's a fact. And what wonderful words for us to ponder, to think that the Father has loved us, loved all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that he loves us as he loves the Son. And again, oh, the heights and depths of this wondrous love, this matchless truth. And that's what this is. This is a truth set forth before us from the words of he who is God incarnate in the flesh. What weight that carries, right? Not just that it's Scripture. There's weight right there with Scripture too, isn't there? Because the Scripture is the foundation of our faith, right? Because it speaks of the one who is the foundation of our faith, which is Christ. But this word is the foundation too, because we come to this word and we this word's all about Christ. This book's all about, it's a hymn book, H-I-M. It's all about Christ. And it's truth. And this is a statement of fact. That God the Father loves those who are in Christ as he loves Christ. It's a statement of fact. That's wonderful. So let's read the context of this verse. We're starting verse 17. And we'll read all the way to 26. I was thinking after this, we only have three messages left in this chapter. But oh my, it's been so rich, hasn't it? It's been so wonderful. Verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world," this is Christ speaking to the Father, "even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself." So he goes to the cross to make them holy, right? Because he's holy. He alone is holy. "That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's us. That's we who have believed the words of God that's been preached through the ages, right? Same truth that I'm preaching tonight is the same truth that the apostles set forth, right? "But for them also which shall believe on my name," here we start about the unity of the church here, "that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me." So not the same in nature, right? Because the Father and the Spirit and the Son are one in nature and divinity. But that we might be a reflection of them in the unity that they have. "That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. And that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Now there's that statement again. There's that statement again. "The world may believe that thou hast sent me." You know when the world's going to believe that Christ was sent? At the great white judgment throne. They're going to know then. Because they're going to see the saints over here. On the right side. All because of the grace and mercy of God. And they're going to know that those who trusted in the Savior, who was sent by God, will have eternal life. Oh my. My oh my. "And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one." And we looked at that last week, the inheritance that we have, the oneness that we have in Christ. Now here's tonight's verse. "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Now that's next week's verse. Look at that. That's just full of amazing truth too, isn't it? "O righteous Father," what a title. "The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Now consider what the scriptures bring forth in this verse. And it's a fact. This is a proclaimed fact. It's a fact. We don't have to doubt it. God proclaims it in his word. What do? Simply by truth, by God-given faith, we just believe, right? That's what we're called to do, just to believe it. And by God-given faith, we believe. Now, do we have doubts sometimes? Yeah, we go like this. But this fact never changes. That's what I want us to consider. This fact, this love that God has for his people in Christ, never, ever changes. It is a constant fact. Isn't that amazing? Even before we were saved and regenerated, this love was set upon us and we didn't even know it. We had no clue. We had no clue at all. So this scripture and these scriptures proclaim facts. The scripture proclaims facts, right? All who come to Christ will be saved, right? He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to him. That's a fact. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's a fact. It is finished. Salvation's accomplished. That's a fact. Right? Oh, Lord, give me the grace just to believe it. Right? Peter said, Lord, help my unbelief. Right? That's what we all cry too, isn't it? Oh. So let this truth that we're going to look at tonight influence our thoughts about him, about who he is. As we look to Jesus in all circumstances, let this truth that we're looking at tonight just permeate your soul. I am loved by God the Father, and I've always been loved by God the Father with an unchanging, right, unequal love, an eternal, everlasting love. And God the Father loves me like he loves Christ. My, this is a fact, beloved. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. My. So let the fact of this love, let the fact of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ be brought before us each day. May we wake up each day bringing this to remembrance. If we get down, remember that God loves me as he loves Christ. My. My. It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely. And again, this is the fact. This is Christ, the God-man, praying these words to the Father about his soon-to-be blood-bought bride, right? He's going to go soon, and he's going to purchase them on Calvary's cross with his precious blood. He's going to redeem them by the giving of his life, right? And by having all God's wrath poured out upon him that was due us. He's just about to do this, and he says that the Father has loved them as thou hast loved me. My. Do you see what I mean? I was studying for this, and my mind was absolutely blown away. And I knew the verse that was coming, and it still just knocked my socks off, beloved, as I was putting this message together. The fact of the love and presence of Christ. The fact of the love of the Father to me in Christ. My, what a blessed truth. And we have it right here before us, don't we? This truth is set right here before us today. I have never had anyone love me like this. And I know the love my wife has for me. And I know the love my mom had for me. And I know the love my kids have for me. But it doesn't even come close to this. This is an everlasting, eternal love. And it's true. It's a fact, beloved. It's a fact. That thou hast loved them. What a comfort for God's people. In the midst of my sinfulness. In the midst of my rebelliousness. And even now in the midst of my sinfulness, to my shame, he loves me. And he's always loved me. And he's never going to stop loving me. And it's true for everyone who believes. That's absolutely incredible. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. And what love. Now we can see the love behind the mission of Christ coming to this world, right? Not only does Christ love us with an everlasting love, the Holy Spirit loves us with an everlasting love. And here we see the Father loves us with an everlasting love. So much so that he loves us just like he loves Christ. That's an immeasurable love. That's an incredible love. We can't reach the depths. It's endless. It's absolutely endless. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. But what a great God the Father who sent him. And he was sent to save his people from their sins. And he did it, beloved. All because of this great love brought forth in this verse. Now a husband loves his bride, right? We're the bride of Christ. But here's the Father who sent the bridegroom. And he says, I've loved you. All you who I've chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world, I've loved you just like my son. Isn't that, this is amazing love, isn't it? This is amazing love. It's absolutely amazing. Despite our failings, despite our sinfulness, despite our unfaithfulness, despite our unbelief, God the Father has loved us and always will love us just as he loves Christ. Despite my wanderings, despite all the stuff that I've done in my life, despite all that, God the Father has loved me as he's loved Christ. Amazing love, how could it be? How can it be? How can it be? Because God's word says it, and it's a fact, and I just have to rest and believe it. And what joy, what peace, what comfort, this little verse here in John 17. Now, the whole chapter's been amazing, but what joy and peace I can glean from this. You know, I think I've mentioned before, my dad and I didn't have a great relationship. And my pastor and Candace said, well, you will never understand the love of God because you didn't have a good relationship with your father. My dad's not like God. This love is greater than any love I've ever seen in this world, any love that I've ever experienced in this world. And this love is a fact because the scripture says it's a fact. Oh, my. It's amazing. And so let the fact of the love and presence of Christ for his people be brought before us each day. And by faith, may we believe this blessed truth that's set before us tonight in the scriptures. It's a fact. We have it right here in God's word. Beloved, we have God's word right here, right before us. And again, despite our failings, despite our sinfulness, despite our unbelief, despite our unfaithfulness, despite our walking away in weariness, despite all that, that Father has loved them as thou hast loved me. That puts a joy in my heart, just believing that, just resting in that. There's nothing I have to do. I just look at that and go, it's true. By faith, I believe that. Now, I wouldn't believe that if I was an unbeliever. And when I was an unbeliever, I didn't believe the Bible. But now, this is precious. This is, you take all the gold and silver in the world, just give me this verse. That God the Father's loved me in Christ, as he's loved Christ, who's my Redeemer, who's my Savior, who's my King. Hallelujah. What a great God. What a king. Let's read this verse again. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What joy and peace can be ours by simply believing the facts of what God puts before us. This is a fact. What joy can be ours if we simply just believe it. And it's just by simple faith, isn't it? I believe it. I believe this. By God's grace and by God's mercy, of course, I believe this. What rest I can find right here. Oh, my. What joy, what peace can be ours simply by believing God's words, the foundation of our faith. Right? Christ. What this word says about Christ. What this word says about the Father. Oh, it's wonderful. Now you see why I was so excited about preaching this message. It's absolutely incredible. It's one of the most incredible topics in the Bible, the love of God. And it is through the Word of God, right? The Bible, the Scriptures, as the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scriptures for us, right? And gives us faith to believe what it says, that we can find rest. Not by anything we do, simply by believing it. I was doing a study last night, and the guy in the study, he said, these truths are set before us in the Scriptures, they're facts. You can find rest just believing them. So many people try to find rest in our doings, right? Or joy in our doings. Just read the Word and believe it. This is a fact. My heart is filled with joy right now because I saw this verse today, and I got to study this verse, and I believe this verse by God's grace. And I am absolutely amazed. And I mean, I am absolutely amazed that God the Father has loved me as He loved Christ. That's amazing. Knowing who I was, knowing who I am, that's amazing grace right there. And the only reason He loves us is for Christ's sake, right? That's why He loves us as He loves Christ, because we're in Christ. You see? Oh, again, it's all about Him. It's all about Christ. That's all. That anyone who starts getting up and talking about something without Christ, that's just useless information. When they're supposed to be preaching. That's just useless information. Tell me about Christ. Tell me about how God the Father loves me in Christ. Tell me how this love is an everlasting love, unchangeable love, eternal love. And my heart will just sing. Because God saved a sinner like me. My. Is it so for you? It's so for us, isn't it? All of us. Oh my, oh my, oh my. It's absolutely wonderful. And it's through the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, as the Holy Spirit again illuminates the Scriptures and gives us faith to believe, that we learn more about who? About Christ. About Christ, the Word of God, God in the flesh, and why He came here. What did He come here to do? To save sinners. Right? And who did He come to save? His people. Did He do it? Yeah. He cried, "It's finished." I believe it. Do you? By God's grace, we believe those words when He said, "It is finished." My salvation is absolutely complete in Christ. My salvation is absolutely outside of myself and in Christ and Him alone. As Scott Richardson said, we look outside ourselves and we look up to Christ, the one Redeemer, the true Redeemer of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. So simply, let us simply believe what God says. He says He's in control of all things. Let's believe it. Let's rest in that, right? That He's in absolute control. The Scripture says that He does whatever He pleases in the armies of heaven, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Let's believe that. That's what the Scripture says, right? But then think of this. Bring it home. All of us are reputed as nothing, and yet He loves His people. He loves us as He loves Christ. So there's some He has His eye on and He won't take His eye off of. And you know His eye was on us even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. He was protecting us and preserving us even then. Keeping us from destroying ourselves. Till that time come. The time of what? It's called in the Scriptures. It's called the time of love. What are we looking at here tonight? The love that God the Father has for His people in Christ. It's absolutely amazing. And the restful joy of the born-again, blood-washed saint of God results from resting faith, not from anything we do, but from resting faith. Just believing what our joy and our rest can come by simply believing what the Scriptures say. We can be filled with such joy. And there's nothing we can do to get that rest except look to Christ, except rest in what the Scriptures say. And we can rest in this Scripture, can't we? This here is a portion of God's amazing love. What amazing truth we have set before us here. the everlasting, eternal love of God for his people in Christ. It's all about Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all about him. Let's read again the verse. We're going to read this many times. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. May we, by God's grace, Christ ever changed? Has his love for us then ever changed? Never. Never. Not even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the part that amazes me. I'll tell you, that's the part that makes me just have to sit back and take it in. Because I know how I was, and I even know how I can be now. Right? But this, I'll tell you what. You talk about put a spring in my step. To know that God the Father has loved me as he's loved Christ. I'll tell you what. What a foundation we have. We have the surest foundation. We have Christ and the Scriptures. What more do we need? We don't need anything else, do we? Really, we don't. No, and yet he gives us all kinds of things, right? Gives us a place to live. He gives us clothes to wear. He gives us cars to drive. He gives us everything we have. My, oh my. Because he knows we need these things, right? But he always gives us what we need. Never, I've noticed this, not always what we want. Praise God. Praise God is right. That's, I remember hearing Spurgeon say that. Thankfully, God doesn't give us what we want, because we're liable to destroy ourselves. Yeah. But he doesn't do that. He restrains us. He keeps us. He's such a loving God. So let us rest in this fact tonight. Let us leave here in this week. One of my prayers is this week that we would contemplate this love, this everlasting, eternal love through the week. That we, again, if we're having a bad day, just remember this verse. Just remember this little part of this verse. And has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, you've loved me as you've loved Christ. Now that, I'll tell you what. That's God's love. That's not human love. This is God's love. And this is a fact. I know I keep hitting that nail, but this is a fact. This is an unchanging truth. Do you see how wonderful this is? It's amazing. I love my kids. I love my bride. I love my bride like no other woman. Oh, yeah, I know. I better, too. I know. No, but it's true, though, right? It's true. We pick them to be our brides. Really, yeah, God actually picked them, yeah. But look at that. Look, and think of the love we have for them, right? It doesn't even come close. It doesn't even come close to this love. I know how much my wife loves our kids. You can't, a mother's love is incredible. You know, I messed up a lot in my life, but my mom's love for me never changed. It never did. But this love here, that's just a shadow. That's just like a fleeting cloud. This love here, when I think of how I was before the Lord saved me, when I think of how I was when the Lord saved me, when I think of how I am now, still a sinner, but saved by grace, and that this love here, this love that God the Father has loved me as he's loved Christ, doesn't even come close to any other love. Now, see, we can't really fathom that, because we have finite minds, right? But you're talking about one who's infinite. Now, hang on to your seats here. If he's infinite, then his love is what? Infinite. Infinite. This is infinite, eternal love. And how do we know it's truth? Number one, because the God-man's speaking this. Number two, because it's in the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are authored by God the Holy Spirit. And these words are preserved for us. My, oh my. God the Father's love. His love for us has never changed. It's been set upon us from eternity. It's been set upon us from eternity. It's been unchanged. And what rest and peace we who are the people of God can find, just believe in what God says. Let's read verses 21 to 23, because really verse 23 is tied into verse 21 and 22, speaking about the unity of the body of believers too, of all God's elect. That they may be one, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, Christ in us, right? The hope of glory. Is that not true? Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Well, we see then in these three verses that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to the Father about the unity that believers have in Christ. And then he brings forth, like setting a cherry on top, the everlasting love of God for his people. It's like a cherry placed on top. They're going to have unity because they're one in me. And I'm in you, Father, he says. And they're going to have unity in us. And here's the cherry on top. You've loved them just as you love me. Oh, my! It makes your heart leap, doesn't it? It makes our heart leap for joy. When we consider this truth that's set right before us. And it's set forth in plain words, isn't it? It's not hard to understand. But yet we would never believe it except for the grace of God. We would never know this truth except for the grace of God. We would never know this truth except we be in Christ. Oh my. God is a distinguishing God and he's amazing. So we see the truth also in this verse, right? When he says, I in them and thou in me. We see here the truth of Christ in us, the hope of glory, as I mentioned earlier. In the first part of verse 23, he brings forth the unity of himself with God the Father. He says, thou and me. And one cannot read about the life of Christ without seeing God in him. He's the God-man. You can't read about Christ without seeing God, because he's the God-man. And we can't read about Christ without seeing God working in him, right? Especially when God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, right? He's pleased in Christ. My, oh, my. My, oh, my. So he's bringing forth here the union that believers have with the Father, being one in Christ, and Christ being one with the Father. The point is reached for which our Lord prayed that they also may be one in us. Unity. Unity in Christ. He's the head, right? He's God incarnated in the flesh. We're the body of believers. We're the body of Christ that have been saved by his precious, precious blood. Gathered out from all the ages, too. Think of that. Think of that. You're gathered out from your generation. I'm gathered out from my generation. A people of God's choosing from every single generation. It's absolutely amazing. Amazing. And couple this with believers being one with each other, too. Right? And you get being made perfect in one. Who are we made perfect in? Christ. When will we be made perfect? When we get the glory. Right? Right now we're still sinners. But we're going to be perfect one day. We're going to have no sin. Sin will no longer ever bother us again. Yeah, Dave's doing a little jig. It'll never bother us again. Never. Never. It'll be gone. Oh, we'll be just rejoicing. We'll just be rejoicing in Christ. That's what we'll be doing. And think of this. We are right now moved by the same love of holiness, right? We all desire to not sin. We hate sin, don't we? I've never met a Christian who loves sin. I've not met one. I've met Christians who hate sin. Just like, but who do we hate it more in? Right here. In ourselves, right? I got enough sin in me to not worry about everybody else in the world. My, oh, my. My, oh, my. That's, I'll tell you what. It's, but so we're moved by the same love of holiness. We're inspired by the same spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, right? We're born again by the same spirit. And the eternal will of the Father is the will of the Son and the will of the Spirit that works in us. You know, he's working in us, his will. We see ourselves, oh, Lord, I'm struggling so much. And he's just working his will in us. He's conforming us to the image of Christ. We don't, of course, we don't see it. We just see our sinfulness, don't we? And we see the world in sin. And like my bride said today, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. And I said, honey, we're a day closer. Right? We are. We're a day closer, beloved. Oh, my. Let's read that verse again. This wonderful truth set before us here. Oh, my. I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Well, here's further evidence that the unity for which our Lord prayed for us in John 17:21, as one day Jesus Christ our Lord will present us. Now, one day we'll be made perfect, right? Do you know that one day he is going to present us faultless before the throne of God? You and me, brother, faultless. We're sinners, saved by the grace of God. He can present us faultless. Sister, he can present us faultless. Faultless before the Father's throne. And it's all by the grace and mercy of God that we'll be there. And it's all because God's loved us with an everlasting love that Christ was sent to this earth to redeem our eternal souls, because God the Father has loved us as he's loved Christ. Oh, my. My. And in glory, in heaven, we'll be perfect in oneness. There'll be no disagreements. There'll be no one not fellowshipping with another person. There'll be absolutely no disagreements. Oh, my. There'll be perfect oneness in faith, knowledge, love, holiness, and glory. Now, these are the words of the God-man. And this is one of the most amazing statements set before us here, that God's people will ever hear, that God the Father loves us as he loves Christ. What a statement. And it's a fact. It's truth. It's spoken by he who is truth incarnate. It's spoken by he who is the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, God incarnate in the flesh. And he says that the Father loves us like he loves him. As thou hast loved them, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. One commentator of old rightly said, this expression is stupendous. That's what he said. Stupendous. God loveth the saints as he loveth Christ. God loves saved sinners as he loves Christ. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. One commentator of old said, this comment is absolutely amazing. And let us remember that God the Father loves us. Now here's the kicker. God the Father loves us only because of Christ. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And this truth is brought forth in the book of Ephesians when Paul was writing and he says, we are accepted in the Beloved. That means we're accepted in Christ. He's the Beloved. He's the Beloved. We are made by God. Now, and God makes us accepted. We don't make ourselves. He makes us accepted in the Beloved. It's nothing of our doing. He makes us accepted in the Beloved, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ. So marvel then at God's unfathomable love. That's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the love that we can't even fathom, that we can't even understand. But I believe it, do you? because God's word says it. The master said it. And oh my, how it makes my heart rejoice. Marvel then at the unfathomable love that God has for his people and the fact that the ground of all the love that God has towards us is in Christ. It's all in him. And beloved of God, God has saved us for Christ's sake. And he saved us by Christ and Christ alone, by the shedding of his precious blood. He is the one who obtained eternal salvation for us. He is the one who's done that. By the shedding of this precious, precious blood. Think of this too. We're chosen in him. So God loves us as he's loved Christ because we're chosen in him. We're chosen in Christ. He's the head of the elect. He's the head of the elect. We are pardoned. We are sanctified. We are forgiven of all our trespasses only because of Christ. Only because of him. And through him. All the benefits of God, all the mercies of God are in one basket. I was told a long time ago when I was doing work on my own, I had a big, huge contract, and somebody said, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Well, that's not true for the Christian, is it? God's put all his eggs in one basket, hasn't he? That's Christ. Well, that's the only place I'm going to go. By God's grace. Oh, my. Oh, my. All the benefits of God, all the blessings of God are found in Christ alone. He is the one who has purchased them with his precious, precious blood. He's purchased our eternal souls. All those blessings of God, he procured by his sin atoning death for us. By his merit, right? It was by his merit that we have all these blessings. Now that's why Tim James says, no merit, no merit, no merit here. No merit here. No merit in this sinner. All my merits in Christ. Is he all your merit before God? Is he all your salvation? Well, praise be to God. And if he isn't, I pray God make it so. Oh, I pray God make it so if he isn't. You know, there was a double prejudice against us. Our old corrupt nature was loathed by God. He's holy. He's righteous, right? We can't even be in his presence because of our sin. There's a double prejudice against us. And our transgressions, our sinfulness, it provoked a quarrel with God's justice, didn't it? But you know what? Do you know what, beloved? In Christ, God is both just and the justifier. Oh, my. He's both the lawgiver and he's a law fulfiller. He's the redeemer. He's my savior. He's my God. That's who Christ is for the believer. He's everything. He's everything. And this, the freeness of God's grace is manifested in the sacrifice of Christ. It's manifest, magnified by the fact that the reason he loves us is to be found outside of ourselves. The reason God loves us is because of Christ. And if we're in Christ, then he loves us. He loves us as he loves Christ. Who put us in Christ? The Father did. Oh, my. I'll tell you why. It gets better and better, doesn't it? The Father put us in Christ. Think about his wisdom, his design. He planned and purposed it all. And we as God's people were included in that plan. That's absolutely amazing. So what comfort this verse can bring us? The fact that God loves us in Christ. Our love is so imperfect. It's so imperfect. It's up and down with seasons of life. It can be up and down. Up and down. But this love spoken of here in verse 23 when he says, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Speaking of the Father loving those in Christ. This love is unchanging. This love is eternal. This love is everlasting. It'll never, ever stop. There'll never be a time when he doesn't love us as he loves Christ. My, oh my. So marvel at the Father's love. The Father loves Christ as his Son, so he loves us in Christ as his Son, 1 John 3:1. Also, the Father loves Christ as his image, right? He being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, Hebrews 1:3. So he loves the saints who are by God's grace renewed after his image, Colossians 3:10. Also, God loves Christ tenderly. So also does he love all those who are in Christ as dear children, Ephesians 5:1. He loves Christ eternally. So he loves all who are in Christ. It's the scripture proclaim of God's people, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. He loves Christ unchangeably. So he loves all who are in Christ unchangeably. Marvel then, beloved of God, at these words brought forth in this verse. Let's read it again. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What comfort's found here? What grace is manifested here to God's people? A people of his choosing. What comfort we who are hated by the world can find right here. To know that God the Father loves us as he loves the Son, as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious theme, as one commentator said, for our daily meditation. The love that God has for his people is the same love that he has for Christ. My. Lord, remind me of that, please. When I'm down, when I'm looking at the world and the things in the world, let me remember that your love for me is unchanging and you're in control of everything. Oh, my. Let me rest my soul in this precious truth set here before us. That God the Father has loved them, his chosen, blood-bought, born-again people. As thou hast loved me, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ, John 17:23, our verse tonight. And let we who are the redeemed of the Lord rest in this fact that we see tonight. This is a fact. This is a fact. Now the enemy might come and plant things in our minds saying, oh no, God doesn't truly love you that much. Oh yes, he does. Oh yes, he does. The old flesh might start saying, no, he don't love you. Look how sinful you are. Oh, he loves me. He loves me as he's loved Christ. My, oh my, this is an unchanging fact. It cannot be denied. It's truth. It's a fact. God's word says it, and more so, the word of God incarnate says it. The Lord Jesus Christ. These are his words, beloved. And he's God. He knows how much the Father loves us. Because he knows how much the Father loves him. Even though we can't understand it. So let us contemplate this wonderful fact of God's eternal love to his people in Christ. And let us increasingly remind ourselves of this wonderful truth and this unquestioned fact, this undeniable fact that we see here before us in God's word. That God the Father loves his people as he loves Christ. And I'll tell you what resulting peace and joy will follow us if we just rest in this and just simply believe what God's word says. I'll tell you, it made me leap for joy today. And it's making me leap for joy even preaching it. It's wonderful. It's true. Many times we look for the experiences of peace and joy by something we do. But you know how to really experience peace and joy in Christ? Just believe what the word says. Just believe what it says. When he says, I've loved you, with an everlasting love? Just believe it. And by God's grace, we do, right? Although we're like this sometimes, aren't we? Hey, let's be honest, we're all, right? But this is a fact. And by simple, let us just, by simple faith, believe it. With it, no wonder the Lord says, be like a child. May your faith be like a child's faith. I remember my kid, I'd tell him something, boom, he'd believe it. He didn't even doubt it. Okay? Let our faith be like that. Even with this truth set before us, it's true. It's a fact. I'm going to rest my soul in this. That God loves me in Christ as much as he loves Christ. And peace and joy comes through this word, beloved. This is where peace and joy comes from. Just resting in this word. What did so many people are out trying to earn rewards. What did Christ tell Abraham? I'm your exceeding reward. I believe that. He's my reward. He's our crown of glory. He's our crown of life. It's him. He's our righteousness, right? It's him. Yeah, my. It's so liberating and so freeing. And to know this, that God's love will never change towards me. Oh, my soul. This is wonderful. And you know, Scripture declares this, the just shall live by faith. Simple faith. Just believe in what God says. Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I believe it. By God's grace, by the gift of faith, I believe it. He's my life. He's my redemption. He's my resurrection. He's my Savior. He's my King, right? Don't we believe that? Yes, we do, by God-given faith. And trusting Christ and his word, and the more this is true, the more peace and joy we'll have. The more we just believe what God says, the more we just rest in his truth, I guarantee the more peace. You don't have to buy a book where some guy tells you how to lead a better Christian life and have joy. It's right here. It's right here. Just believe what the word says. It'll bring you peace and joy. This verse brought me peace and joy today. Is it for you tonight? It's wonderful, isn't it? My, oh my. My comfort, my peace, my joy, my rest is found in he who is the lover of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, let our hearts and minds be fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In that relationship that we've seen tonight, that is ours. That is ours through Christ. In this wonderful fact that's been set before us, that God loves me as he loves Christ. Let's read this verse one last time and we're finished. And marvel at these words. Marvel at the wonderful facts set forth here. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That's when we get to glory, beloved. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Praise God. Isn't he wonderful?